Hello, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. I don't know if I got here a little late. I don't know if we may be the only congregation meeting in Nacogdoches today. There's some. Good. Maybe across the street there, too, or down the street. Whether we are at home or all meeting together, the body of Christ is one body. Okay. You probably said all that kind of stuff, didn't you? All right. Before I get into all that kind of stuff, I think it's, Leabeth and I have been really burdened for our children, the little fellers back there. You know, it is of utmost importance that they hear from God as young people. You say, well, you know, it's what we teach them at home that really matters, and it does. But you know, one thing about a Sunday school teacher or somebody gifted by God to teach kids, it's so important because they see that the life that, you know, their parents tells them about Christianity is something broader than their little family. Something, it is a universal that they need to hear about, and they can only get it by the Spirit of God. And so let's pray for them again. And I think we should be really praying especially for our kids. Father, we just ask you that those children, Father, this next generation, hear from your Spirit. This is all they're needing. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall take of Mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. All right. You remember last week we, just by slight review, last week we talked about the Spirit's relationship to the world. And this week we'll go back, and Christ has already spoken to us of the Holy Spirit, or we've used that word, the Paraclete, one who is called alongside to speak to us, and to be with us. And He's already talked about that earlier, but He's back to that now. But last week it was all about the Spirit's relationship to the world. And the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, would argue a case against the world in legal terms, which is, by the way, that's one of the terms we use about the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. That kind of smacks of lawyer talk, doesn't it? And indeed, the Holy Spirit, last week we said, will come to the world and He will convict, He will instruct the world in sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so when you look across the earth and you see men, and we use the word all the time, come under conviction, they are receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't happen naturally. Men are oblivious to God. Men don't care about God. They care about their next meal, the clothes they're going to wear on their back, etc., etc. But the Holy Spirit's ministry is to end the earth, is to my goodness, they say, I'm guilty. God has a case against me. That doesn't happen naturally. And so the Holy Spirit's work in the earth is bringing men in quite literally to confront them with some truths. That's sin, righteousness, and judgment. That was all last week. But the Spirit's ministry is not confined to arguing with the world. But I want to stress that the world needs arguing with. What do you think? Someone needs to stand up and say, "Well, wait." Again, it's not us. It's not essentially the work of man to get this done. It is a work of the Spirit. He may use man, but he quite literally argues with men of this age about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when we see it happening, we should say, "Ah, the ministry of the Holy Spirit." Okay, that was last week. It's not confined to that arguing with the world. All the while he's doing that in our age, he has a parallel ministry with the congregation of God, the church. The Holy Spirit is working on the worldling, you might say. At the same time, he's working in his church. These things are going on simultaneously, parallel to one another. And as Christ has guided his disciples into the truth during his earthly life, the Holy Spirit continues this work into the future. That's what verses 12 and 13 say. I have come many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you what is to come. This future world of that the disciples had quite literally no idea. Do you know the book of Acts, the idea of what we are so familiar with in the book of Acts? You're familiar with it. That life that's described in the book of Acts is totally unfathomable to the disciples. They had no idea that that was coming. They thought that Jesus would be raised. Well, if they even thought about Jesus being raised from the dead, they didn't think he was going to die, really. They didn't understand any of that business. They thought Jesus was going to inaugurate the kingdom of God and the world would come to an end and all that would be everything finished. This idea of the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit is going to lead the church into was unfathomable to it. And indeed, he says to them, you're not able to stand the truth that's coming. You're not able to understand it. You're not able, it's past them. And so this ministry that's coming in the future, the Holy Spirit's going to have a ministry in the world, and he's going to have a ministry in his church, and they run parallel together. But at this point, when Christ is speaking to them here in chapter 16, this is all future. Starting right here, there are seven future tense verbs. You read them that says the Holy Spirit shall do this, or this shall happen, and when he comes. There's seven times Christ is here telling them about something that's going to happen in the future. And are they thinking about any of that stuff? Nope. But it's coming. And so the Holy Spirit is going to guide the disciples into the truth. Just as Jesus was guiding them into the truth in his earthly life, This would continue into the future. And he speaks of it. And they probably sat there. And he says, now when the Spirit comes, what do we all know? It's just beyond a doubt. We understand. He's talking about Pentecost. Did they understand that? They're going, okay, when the Spirit comes. They have no idea what that, we have no idea what they thought. But we know one thing. What did happen was a shock. Even after the resurrection, he said, don't go out of here until the Spirit comes. And he said that to them, and do you think they understood that? Jesus is now raised from the dead, and that was amazing. But he said, don't go anywhere. You stay in Jerusalem till the Spirit comes. The whole life of the Spirit of the church that we read in the book of Acts was beyond them. And I'm going to just say this as a way of application. There are things coming in your life that is beyond your imagination in glory. Do you think God can leave you dumbfounded at his what he can do? He can. Things are going to be coming to us and in our future existence that will our mouths will be fall agape, and we'll just say, what a glory. Thank God surprises his people. And sometimes we'll just say, that's good. Other times we'll have to sing or join angels or something. But sometimes it might just be simple things. But I tell you, God surprises his people. And what was going to happen in the book of Acts was going to be a complete surprise. It's yet in the future when he comes, the Spirit of truth comes. The Spirit's ministry will in its essence be one of glorifying Jesus and taking Jesus' future existence on the throne and making that a living reality to the disciples. The idea that Jesus would be exalted to the right hand of God and that the disciples would continue a life down here was again beyond them. You know, the Christian faith, is a marvel, is it not? But the Spirit's ministry will in its essence be one of glorifying Jesus and taking Jesus' future existence on the throne in heaven at the right hand of God and revealing the reality of that to his people. It's going to happen over and over and over again. Jesse Penn Lewis constantly banged away with a ball peen hammer. Christ seated at the right hand of God. Are you earthbound or are you heaven bound? Is your mind in the heavens or is it down here? I like the idea of a ball peen hammer. If it won't work, fit right in, force it. And the Holy Spirit's going to be moving the church to think about things that they had not even conceived of happening. They were so wrapped up in this Jesus they knew in those 3 years of ministry that what was coming would be a total new thing. Let me just read you some text. And just note the right hand of God here. So then, when this is Mark chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord followed them and confirmed the word with signs that followed. Note the line. He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and then they went out. This was a brand new concept, but at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. And therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. This is at Pentecost. And it's all about this new thing, Jesus at the right hand of God, exalted there, and the Holy Spirit now being poured forth. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and following. But being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." This is the Holy Spirit's work. I mean, the Holy Spirit is full bore in the book of Acts. It is full on, 100 miles an hour, just going at it. And Jesus is revealing, the Holy Spirit is revealing this exalted Christ to the church. And indeed, if the world is going to hear it, to the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Christ Jesus is he who died, yea, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. This idea that Christ is at the right hand of God would revolutionize their thinking. And how did it come? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to set our minds on the things of the above. Ephesians chapter 1, God brought about in Christ when he raised him, and I'm just breaking into the thought, when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. The Holy Spirit is now revealing to his church this existence of Jesus of Nazareth, a life. Jesus of Nazareth has a life in heaven. Did you know that? He has an existence in heaven. It is completely different from his existence here on earth, when he's constantly suffered the contradiction of sinners and the ignorance of his own friends. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. But in heaven, this is all past tense now. But when Jesus was speaking here, it was yet future. Hebrews chapter 1. And Christ is the radiance of God's glory and the exact That's good, Steve. Would you say that real loud?
Representation.
That's good. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is going to give the early church a continuing look at Jesus. Is it going to stop? Is it all in the past for them now? No, the Holy Spirit is going to constantly refer to them of this exalted Christ. Representation of his nature. and upholds all things by the word of his power. That's Christ's power. And listen, when he made purification for sins, that is Jesus, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is a universal in the New Testament. It's ubiquitous as bahia grass in East Texas. It's everywhere in the New Testament. In Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 just pulls it all together, talking about Christ at the right hand of God. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for he will put all things in subjection under his feet. And so we have the Holy Spirit working in the apostles and all throughout the New Testament as we read it. Not only remembering of Christ's words on the earth, which are critical, but the Holy Spirit then, via the ministry of the apostles, opens up this new thing that Christ is in heaven with a life up there, and he reigns to this day. I tell you right now, Jesus is Lord yet in the earth. And in faith, you look down through centuries of all the things that the past 2,000 years, Christ has been Lord over it all, and he continues to be Lord until the resurrection of all men and his return. He's still King at the right hand of God. All this is all of this is past the disciples' current capabilities to understand. They can't get it. What's it say? I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Just by way of application, the Lord could say more to us, but we can't bear them. But the time of the disciples, it's just a little illustration. Things are coming that we can't bear now. Good things. But for those disciples, they could not bear them. The resurrection would change all of this. All of this. Now the cross is also in view. Not only the Christ exalted to the right hand of God, but the teaching of the cross. Now Jesus had foretold it in his earthly ministry, but it was still yet beyond them. The cross, Jesus, Paul the apostle, the cross, he preached the cross. This would become a central teaching of the Holy Spirit. What was said by Jesus, he says, for the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served and to give his life for a ransom for many. Do you think they understood that line? We hardly understand it. I mean, we understand it, but it's become vivid to us. It's the work of the Spirit. I am convinced of it. To teach the world the meaning of the cross. John 3:16, oh, that glorious verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son in the world to judge the world, but that the world be saved through him. This work of the cross, God gave his Son. And this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I can tell you ad infinitum every day, sit down and tell you the abstract truths of the cross of Christ, and you never get it. Never. That's a great danger, isn't it? If the truth just flow over us in the ministry of somebody's preaching or my teaching or whoever, the best, name the best preacher. You think it in your mind. Don't call him out or her out. But the bare bones recitation of words is not enough. It's the ministry of the Spirit. The understanding and preaching of the cross would be part of the Spirit's special mention. And the resurrection, the key here is that the resurrection is going to, the death and resurrection of Christ is going to happen, and that would revolutionize everything. But even at that, they didn't understand. It was the Spirit's work. I know I'm pounding you with a ball peen hammer on this. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. It's a very encouraging verse. God takes us where we are. He takes us where we are. Okay, just a couple just little observations. The Spirit of Truth, verse 13, when the Spirit of Truth. The truth is the Holy Spirit's special domain. He's called the Spirit of Truth. It is His work to lead God's people into it and experience it. It's like a It's like Moses standing on that hill and looking at the promised land. And just put a title over that, the truth. And they were, the children of Israel were going to walk down into the promised land. And the God was going to lead them into it. In the very same way, God is going to lead us, God's people, into truth. It's His domain. It is His work to lead God's people into it. Truth. In a world where lies dominate, the Spirit of Truth, He will guide us into it. And we will walk around and say, you know, I've been believing lies. Look, that's not true. I thought eating and sleeping and being merry, getting drunk and eating too much and stealing your neighbor's wife or, you know, getting money or all. I thought that was important. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going to lead people into a world that everything they thought was important was a lie. It's the Spirit's domain, and the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. You thought fake news was a new concept. That the idea of someone constantly lying to us was a new thing in the earth. Uh-uh. God will lead us into the truth. Now, that's why we prayed for the kids. But He says it here, but when the truth, when the wind that He's speaking of here is now our present. When the truth comes upon you, He shall lead you into the truth. And so that's why it's critical that we pray for the kids and for each other. It is critical. It's all that ultimately matters. If the Holy Spirit's not working in us, we all go home. That's a terrifying thought. But there's such a thing as dead doorknob, dead orthodoxy, dumb as a post orthodoxy, where we just say words at each other. And I tell you, if you've known the Holy Spirit touch your heart and your heart trembles at that touch, you know that you didn't come across the truth on your own. He revealed it to you. It's past human ability. You can get together the best scientists on the earth and get them to study something, and new facts will come forth. You can get the best scientists on earth to study God, and they'll never find Him. Because the Holy Spirit reveals Him. Verses 13 and 14, He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, And then I'll just skip down. He shall glorify me, and he shall take of mine, and shall disclose it to you. The Jesus that they knew and loved would be disclosed to them via the work of the Holy Spirit. When Christians, I'm telling you, when Christians say, do you know Jesus? They're talking about something that's real. The Holy Spirit has made Jesus real to them. And you know, it's cornball. You know, they make fun of Christians. God, Jesus said to me, Jesus spoke to me, I know Jesus. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own. And this world snickers at such things, but that's the work of the Spirit. They don't know it. It gets right in front of them and they don't see it. He shall glorify me, verse 14, the Holy Spirit. And right here, it is assumed that Christians will be spreading the word about Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is telling you about the glory of Jesus, is it going to be hard for, in whispering all that good stuff in your heart? It's going to be hard for you to keep quiet or want to keep it a secret. We don't have a mystery religion. We have a religion that is proclaimed far and wide. We'll make it known. And it says, he shall glorify me. And I'm telling you, it's not talking about the church. The Holy Spirit will not witness to you about the glory of the church. Now, he'll tell you the truth of it and all that, but that is not the ultimate mission of the Holy Spirit. It's a side issue. And if you hear people talking about their church a lot, their church, pull way back. Or they're talking about anything other than the church. Their movement, their special. I remember the Promise Keepers. Anybody remember Promise Keepers? They've stopped keeping promises. I mean, it's faded away. But at the time, that was the great savior of the church in America was going to be a bunch of men keeping promises. I'm tempted to say it wasn't a work of the Spirit. But I won't go that far because I don't know that. But the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Men that are in love with Jesus of Nazareth. This is the great unity the church can have. We can divide up on church government. We can have divide up on this or that. And we can fight with each other about the meaning of a Greek word or politics or you name something. We can fight over it. But we can get together on Jesus and who he is. I've known this in my life. People that all got together, and they're different doctrines, they differed with one another, but when it got to the fact that Jesus saves and no one else saves, we were together. It's the work of the Spirit. Finally, verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Now that statement, that's verse 15, is an amazing statement in its simple statement of fact. You read it again. All things that the Father has are mine. Now that is an amazing statement for a man standing with his feet on the earth to say. And they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus would be arrested. But Jesus said that. Everything that God the Father has is mine. And the Holy Spirit is now going to reveal what is mine to you. But it's an amazing statement. Jesus is the message. And let me just say this. Christianity will never mix with simple theism. Simple theism says there is one God. Christianity will not mix with that completely. It's got to have more. Christianity, the Holy Spirit will constantly shove this into people's face. I hate to put it that way, but he'll constantly say there is one God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will go together. The Holy Spirit will always be introduced into this subject of theism. That's why Judaism is a theistic religion. I think, is Muslim considered that? I don't know. You know, in a way. Or whatever. I'm just telling you, it's not good enough there's God. It's not good enough. Jesus is the answer for the world today. How's the rest of that go, Leah Beth? Jesus is the way. Without him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he takes the things of Christ Jesus on high in the resurrected glory at the right hand of God and discloses it. Says it three times here, right in a row, three times, discloses things. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is reporting to the earth on what's going on in the heavens. He will disclose those things to the church. Christianity is not a movement. I'm pretty strong on the Reformation. I'm pretty strong on a lot of different things. On the truth of the Scripture, on the inerrancy of Scripture and what that means. That is our final touchstone. But you know what? None of it matters if the Holy Spirit isn't working among us. And the Holy Spirit, Amy Carmichael said it, and I really like it. She said, "I'm going to die soon." They all loved her there in southern India, right there at the tip of that subcontinent. And she was dying, and she knew she was dying. And she says, "Now, when I die, don't go back and think, what would Amy Carmichael do?" This isn't a mental process you go through. You must walk in the Spirit, or this little work that's begun in India will grind to a halt. It's the Holy Spirit constantly reporting to the church of the Jesus that's at the right hand of God. You look at it. He will disclose to you, New American Standard has it. It's used him three times. He's going to open things up to you and say, "Oh, yes." Well, I didn't. I've had my doubts. But I guarantee when I was a young fella, I didn't think I'd end up in Nacogdoches being a lawn boy. How about y'all? I don't know what you thought you were going to be. But Christ, this is broad and it's very narrow at times when the Holy Spirit will disclose to us the path of righteousness wherein we are to walk. And you can't discover it on your own. It's the Spirit's ministry. Romans says it, Romans 8, says we do not walk according to the flesh, or that is human standard, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things that are of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. A whole new world is going to open up the disciples at Pentecost. And we sang it a while ago. I liked it. He makes me walk on high places. What is that? Sweet way to put it. But here are these people of God with their minds set on the things that are above. And they seem to be so different. It's the work of the Spirit's ministry that makes them so unusual. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask it for us here. Father, we are in great need of the Spirit's work among us. Father, in my own heart, my soul seems to cling to the earth. Father, I just confess to you, I am so familiar with the things of this age. I seem so often to just settle down here instead of seeking the things that are above at the right hand of God, your Son. So, Father, I ask your ministry of the Spirit. Teach us, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, may we not resist you. May the wind of heaven blow upon us. Father, may we feel the gentle breezes of the Spirit of God. We pray for your church in the earth. We pray for our own hearts. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.